Hello, this is Karen, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the October 2025 issue of Healthy Living on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Okay, we'll start off with, let me see here. Okay, that's titled, A Silent Warning, The Breast Lump That Led to a Life-Saving Discovery. At 41, I was living the life I dreamed of, a new home, a fulfilling career, and days away from marrying the love of my life. The week before my wedding, I discovered a small, hard lump beneath the skin of my right breast. It was painless, the size of a pea, and tucked away just enough to go unnoticed until it didn't. According to the American Cancer Society, a painless lump in the breast or underarm is one of the most common signs of breast cancer. Other symptoms may include swelling, thickening, or redness of the skin, changes in the nipple, discharge, or a persistent feeling of heaviness. But it's the quiet ones, the ones that don't hurt, that often speak the loudest. I was about to walk down the aisle, but I had to first walk into a doctor's office. Family history and vigilance. Breast cancer runs in my family. My grandmother and aunt were both diagnosed, and my mother warned me early on that our family history increased my risk. In fact, about 1 in 8 U.S. women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime, according to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Roughly 15% of those diagnosed have a family history. And for those who have a first-degree relative, such as a mother, sister, or daughter with breast cancer, the risk nearly doubles. Because of my family history, I asked for my first mammogram at 35. I did regular self-checks. I stayed vigilant. Grief and perspective. Months earlier, I lost my lifelong friend to breast cancer. She should have been beside me at my wedding. Instead, I carried her photo on my bouquet. Her absence reminded me that health can change everything, even when life feels perfect. The American Cancer Society reports that the 5-year survival rate is 99% when breast cancer is caught early and remains localized. I found the lump on Sunday. By Monday, I was in my OBGYN's office, then sent for a mammogram and ultrasound. I did not have cancer, but I did have precancerous cells and underwent a lumpectomy 2 months later. A call to action. I wonder what might have changed if my best friend had been given the chance to start treatment sooner. Since 1989, the breast cancer death rate has dropped 44% thanks to early detection and better treatment. That's an estimated 517,900 lives saved, each one someone's mother, sister, friend, or daughter. Nearly 30% of Univera members age 40 to 50 don't get screened. Screening rates improve with age. However, early detection remains crucial. Breast cancer doesn't knock, it just enters. Screening allows us to act swiftly. Know your risk, do your self-checks, check with your insurance plan on coverage for screenings, preventative care, and wellness visits. Speak up when something feels wrong. Encourage your loved ones to do the same. Remember, early detection saves lives, and yours is worth fighting for. Our next article is titled, What is Sudden Cardiac Arrest? Courtesy of the American Heart Association. Sudden cardiac arrest, SCA, is a serious, life-threatening emergency that occurs when the heart suddenly and unexpectedly stops beating. This is caused by an electrical problem in the heart, leading to an irregular heartbeat, arrhythmia, that prevents the heart from pumping blood to the brain and other vital organs. Immediate medical assistance, including cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, and the use of an automated external defibrillator, AED, is crucial for survival. Although people often confuse the terms, cardiac arrest and a heart attack are two different events. Causes: cardiac arrest is an electrical problem, while a heart attack involves a circulation issue. Blood flow: during a heart attack, blood flow to part of the heart muscle is blocked, but the heart usually continues to beat. In cardiac arrest, the heart stops pumping blood completely. Sequence of events: a heart attack can sometimes trigger an electrical malfunction that results in the sudden cardiac arrest. Most cardiac arrests happen because of abnormal heart rhythms, with ventricular fibrillation being the most common cause. Conditions that can lead to SCA include coronary artery disease, CAD. The buildup of plaque in the heart's arteries can increase the risk of heart problems and electrical failure. Heart attack. A heart attack can harm the heart muscle, creating scar tissue that interferes with the heart's electrical signals. Cardiomyopathy. This condition, which causes the heart muscle to stretch or thicken, increases the risk of abnormal heart rhythms. Congenital heart disease. Heart defects present at birth can lead to SCA in children and teenagers. Inherited disorders. Genetic conditions like long QT syndrome and Brugada syndrome can impact the heart's electrical system and lead to dangerous arrhythmias. Other factors. Additional causes may include severe physical stress, significant blood loss, electrocution, or drug use. For many people, SCA occurs suddenly and without warning. However, some may notice symptoms days or even weeks before an event, including a sudden collapse and loss of consciousness, no pulse, no breathing or abnormal gasping, sudden dizziness or lightheadedness, unexplained shortness of breath, chest discomfort or pain, and a racing or fluttering heartbeat, palpitations. Immediate action is vital during sudden cardiac arrest. Survival odds drop roughly 10% each minute without intervention. Follow these steps. Call 911 immediately. Start CPR with quick, firm chest compressions. Use an AED immediately when available. This device can deliver an electric shock to restore a normal heart rhythm. For those who survive cardiac arrest, long-term care and recovery are crucial. This may involve hospital treatment to address the root cause and rehabilitation to reduce potential brain damage from oxygen deprivation. For medical advice or diagnosis, consult a healthcare professional. Our next article is titled, The Vital Role of Primary Care Physicians. Celebrating National Primary Care Week, October 5th through 11th, 2025. National Primary Care Week, observed from October 5th to 11th, 2025, is a time to recognize the vital role that primary care physicians, PCPs, play in maintaining the health and well-being of individuals and communities. This week highlights innovative approaches to care, celebrates progress in healthcare delivery, and emphasizes the importance of reaching underserved populations. Having a dedicated primary care physician is essential for good health. PCPs are your first contact for medical concerns, providing continuity of care and a comprehensive understanding of your health history. They are not just diagnosticians. They are partners in your wellness journey, advocates for preventive care, and trusted advisors for your health questions. One of the most important responsibilities of a PCP is to make sure you get the right annual diagnostic tests. These may include blood pressure and cholesterol checks, diabetes screening, cancer screenings, for example, mammograms, colonoscopies, pap smears, PSA tests, vaccinations, for example, flu, shingles, COVID-19, HIV and STI screenings, bone density scans, lung cancer screening for smokers, abdominal aortic aneurysm screening for older men with a history of smoking. Beyond diagnostics, your PCP plays a crucial role in medication management. With the rise of polypharmacy, especially among older adults, your doctor monitors prescriptions to prevent harmful drug interactions and ensure each medication is necessary for your conditions. Tips for choosing the right PC. Choosing a primary care physician is a personal decision that can greatly impact your health. Here are some helpful tips to guide your selection. Verify credentials and experience. Make sure the doctor is board certified and has experience in handling your particular health issues. Think about your communication style. Pick someone who listens carefully, explains ideas clearly, and makes you feel at ease asking questions. Evaluate accessibility. Find a provider with convenient office hours, a good location, and flexible appointment options. Review patient feedback. Online reviews and testimonials can offer helpful insights into patient satisfaction and the quality of care. Verify insurance compatibility. Confirm that the doctor accepts your health insurance plan. During National Primary Care Week, take a moment to recognize the importance of primary care. If you don't already have a PCP, consider establishing that connection. It's one of the most important steps you can take toward lifelong wellness. Our next article is titled, Sleep is Essential for Rehabilitation and Recovery. Sleep is often underestimated for its healing power. For patients recovering from orthopedic surgery, whether it involves a joint replacement, fracture repair, or ligament reconstruction, sleep is a vital part of the rehabilitation process. Studies confirm that sleep works alongside medication, physical therapy, and nutrition, speeding up recovery in ways that are both significant and measurable. Sleep supports healing. The body's natural repair systems are most active during sleep. Deep sleep triggers the release of growth hormones, which promote tissue regeneration and muscle repair. These processes are essential when bone, cartilage, and soft tissues are affected or injured by surgery. Proper sleep encourages collagen production, which aids in healing, surgical incisions, and helps restore musculoskeletal health. Pain relief and reducing inflammation. Pain often accompanies recovery after orthopedic procedures. Lack of sleep can exacerbate pain perception, creating a cycle where discomfort disrupts rest and increases pain sensitivity. In contrast, good sleep helps regulate the immune system, which can control inflammation and minimize swelling, lessening post-operative pain, and helping to speed the transition from acute pain to steady relief. Mental and emotional recovery. Orthopedic surgery can be emotionally challenging, often causing anxiety, frustration, and depression during rehabilitation. Sleep strengthens emotional resilience, helping us to minimize the stress that patients frequently feel due to limited mobility or a slow recovery. Well-rested individuals are more capable of engaging in physical therapy, following instructions, and maintaining a positive attitude, all of which are essential for the best possible recovery. Enhanced physical therapy outcomes. Physical therapy forms the foundation of orthopedic rehabilitation. The benefits of exercise and movement are best realized when the body has sufficient time to rest and recover. Sleep helps restore energy reserves, enhances coordination, and reinforces motor learning. Patients who prioritize sleep often show improvements in strength, flexibility, and functional performance, progressing more efficiently through rehabilitation milestones. Prevention of complications. Insufficient sleep has been linked to impaired immune function, which can increase the risk of post-surgical infections. It may also raise the chances of complications such as delayed wound healing, blood clots, and hospital readmissions. By supporting immune health and tissue repair, sleep serves as a safeguard against these potential setbacks. Recommendations for quality sleep include setting a consistent bedtime and wake time, staying active during the day to help your body prepare for sleep, engaging in relaxing pre-bedtime activities such as light stretching and or reading, sleeping in a dark and quiet room, and minimizing distractions and screen time before bed. In the journey to recover after orthopedic surgery, sleep serves as a vital pillar of health and healing. It is just as important as prescribed medications and exercise routines. By prioritizing restorative sleep, patients can tap into the body's natural ability to recover, reduce pain, and improve rehabilitation results. Ultimately, a good night's sleep lays the foundation for a successful return to mobility and well-being. And you are listening to a reading of articles and features from Healthy Living on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Okay, our next article is titled An Essential Disease We've Never Heard Of. The Kissing Bug Disease, also known as Chagas Disease. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the kissing bug disease is actually Chagas disease, caused by the parasite Trypanosoma cruzi. An estimated 280,000 people in the U.S. are infected with Chagas disease. While many cases originated from high-risk areas in Central and South America or Mexico, cases are now emerging in California, Texas, Arizona, and other states. Chagas spreads when a kissing bug or triatomine bug bites a person or animal to feed on their blood. After biting, the bug deposits the parasite in its feces. If feces containing the parasite enter a cut in the skin or are rubbed into the eyes or mouth, the person can become infected. Peter Hotez, MD, an expert on neglected tropical diseases, including Chagas, notes that the disease can start with flu-like symptoms, but may also stay dormant for years. Symptoms might include fever, fatigue, a rash, or swelling at the bite or eyesight, known as Romana design. If untreated, the infection can cause serious long-term cardiac and gastrointestinal problems such as an enlarged heart, heart failure, or digestive issues. Describing Chagas as one of the most important infections people have never heard of. Dr. Hotez and others are calling for improved surveillance and better access to treatments for this chronic disabling disease. To prevent Chagas disease, the CDC recommends avoiding sleeping in buildings made of adobe, mud, or thatch where bugs are common, and sealing cracks and holes at home to keep bugs out. Contact a healthcare provider if you've been in close contact with kissing bugs in endemic areas or if a family member has the infection. Okay, next article, falls prevention, small steps, big impact. Falls are among the most common and preventable health risks for older adults. Over 140 older adults in New York State visit emergency rooms for fall-related injuries daily, and one in four New Yorkers aged 65 and older experiences a serious fall each year. Preventing falls is essential for a healthy aging. Even a near fall can cause fear and hesitation. As a home health care nurse with Elderwood IPA in Western New York, I remind elders in my care that there's no shame in asking for help. The following tips, small changes, and healthy habits can make a big difference in staying safe and steady on your feet. Remove tripping hazards like loose rugs, cords, and be mindful of pets. Wear supportive shoes and well-fitting clothes to minimize your risk of falling. Sleep away from the edge of the bed to prevent nighttime falls. Engaging in light and gentle exercise and activities, such as walking, helps maintain strength and balance. Consult a health professional before starting a new routine. Some prescriptions may cause dizziness or lower blood pressure. Ask your doctor about side effects. Physical and occupational therapists can help improve mobility and confidence and recommend walking and other supports when needed. Recovery takes time. Focus on progress, not perfection, and lean on your health and your care team for support. Falls may be common, but risks can be reduced. With guidance, encouragement, and the right tools, older adults can remain safe, independent, and empowered. Partnered with a trusted network of providers like Elderwood, IPA, VNS Health offers Medicare and Medicaid health plans designed to help older New Yorkers live, age, and recover in the comfort of their homes and communities. Our next article, Western New York's first osteopathic medical school. DeUville University has received pre-accreditation from the American Osteopathic Association's Commission on Osteopathic College Accreditation, COCA, to establish the DeUville University College of Osteopathic Medicine, the first osteopathic medical school in Western New York and the first new medical school in the region in nearly 200 years. Pre-accreditation confirms DeUville's preparedness to admit students and develop the infrastructure needed to welcome its first class in fall 2026. This milestone aligns with the university's mission to expand healthcare access and train future physicians to serve underserved and rural communities. This is a memento moment for DeUville and Western New York, said President Dr. Lori Clemo. Opening a medical school is more than just education. It's about transforming healthcare access, expanding the workforce, and strengthening our community fabric. We are grateful that COCA trusts our vision, and we are excited to build Buffalo's first medical school in nearly 200 years. The DYU-COM curriculum emphasizes the osteopathic philosophy of holistic patient care, including early clinical experiences, interprofessional teamwork, and cultural awareness. Nearly 50 clinical affiliation agreements with hospitals and providers across Western New York, Western and Upstate New York, as well as New York City, are already in place. DYU-COM aims to train physicians in family medicine, internal medicine, OBGYN, pediatrics, general surgery, and psychiatry. We are assembling a faculty who are not only academically and clinically accomplished, but are deeply committed to mentorship, service, and training physicians who reflect the communities they serve, said founding dean Dr. Sean Cannon. DYU-COM will be both accountable to Western New York and a model of excellence in medical education. DYU-COM will admit 90 students in 2026, with enrollment increasing to 180 students per class by 2028, ultimately reaching 720 student physicians by 2031. Students can now apply through the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine Application Service. The program will start on DUVille's main campus with a permanent move in 2027 to 285 Delaware Avenue, a state-of-the-art facility in downtown Buffalo. The origins of osteopathic medicine trace back to Andrew Taylor Still, a Civil War medic who, after experiencing personal tragedy and losing faith in conventional treatments, sought alternative healing methods. In 1892, he founded the American School of Osteopathy in Kirksville, Missouri. His approach emphasized the body's muscular skeletal system, natural healing, and reducing reliance on medications. Today, osteopathic medicine is a rapidly growing field. There are 43 accredited osteopathic colleges in the U.S., and in the 2023-24 academic year, over 38,000 students enrolled, reflecting a 65% increase in the past decade. Osteopathic physicians, DOS, complete the same training and hold the same licensure as allopathic physicians, MDs. The difference lies in philosophy. DOs take a holistic approach to care, emphasizing the connection between body, mind, and spirit. For DUVille, launching DYU-COM represents not only an investment in education, but also a historic commitment to reshaping healthcare access in Western New York and beyond. And you are listening to a reading of articles and features from Healthy Living on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Okay, our next article is titled Down Syndrome Parents Group of Western New York: Emotional Support, Resources, Events, and More. Down syndrome is a genetic condition that occurs when a person is born with an extra copy of chromosome 21. This condition affects development, influencing physical traits, health concerns, and cognitive differences. People with Down syndrome often have almond-shaped eyes that slant upward, a single deep crease across the palm, and a flatter facial profile. They may also experience mild to moderate intellectual disabilities and are at higher risk for specific medical issues such as heart defects or hearing problems. However, every individual is unique, and with proper support and opportunities, people with Down syndrome can lead whole, productive, and meaningful lives. Parents of children with Down syndrome often face emotional challenges when searching for suitable learning environments that meet their child's needs and advocating for personalized education plans. Accessing specialist therapies and early intervention services can be time-consuming and overwhelming, especially when resources are limited or challenging to navigate. They also experience social isolation due to misconceptions and societal attitudes about disability. For these parents and caretakers, building a network of understanding peers and professionals is essential. Here in Western New York, the Western New York Down Syndrome Support Group, officially called the Down Syndrome Parents Group of Western New York, DSPG, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting individuals with Down syndrome and their families in Western New York. DSPG offers a sense of community and key resources listed below to help families navigate raising a child with Down syndrome. Emotional support. Parents of children who are newly diagnosed may feel overwhelmed and isolated. Connecting with others who have gone through similar experiences offers emotional support and helps lessen feelings of loneliness. Access to information and resources. DSPG provides details on educational programs, community services, and medical resources, and members share practical advice on daily challenges. Fostering peer groups. DSPG helps organize social gatherings and activities that are vital for connecting kids with Down syndrome to peers of their own age. Advocacy. The organization and its members advocate for the rights and inclusion of people with Down syndrome in the community, schools, and workplaces. Family-wide support. The support goes beyond just the individual with Down syndrome. Special programs like separate gatherings for mothers and fathers, often dedicated spaces for parents to share experiences and connect over their unique roles. Support groups also help families through tough transition periods such as puberty, moving to college, or starting a new job. High expectations. DSPG stresses the importance of setting high expectations for individuals with Down syndrome. When families maintain high expectations, it often motivates the individual to reach their full potential. To learn more about the Down Syndrome Parents Group of Western New York, visit https://dspgwny.org, where you can become a member, download their brochure, explore resources, and find information and upcoming programs and events, including the Fall Dance on November 8th and the December Holiday Party. You can also call 716-832-9334. Okay, next article we have is Early Warnings of Domestic Abuse. People enter relationships to improve their lives, but unfortunately some become unhealthy and abusive. The National Domestic Violence Hotline states that many abusive individuals seem calm and normal in the early stages of relationship, so when abuse begins, it often catches victims off guard. Family and domestic violence affects around 10 million people each year in the U.S. About 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men are victims of domestic violence. Physical signs of abuse might not always be visible, and when emotional abuse occurs, before violent acts, others may not realize that anything is wrong. Here are some behaviors and early warning signs that you could be dealing with an abusive person. Overly aggressive in building a relationship and communicating very openly right after the first meeting. Exhibiting intense jealousy, accusing you of cheating or preventing you from going out of fear that you might meet someone else. Controlling behaviors like hoarding all the money and requiring permission for everything. Hinders or stops you from spending time with family, friends, or peers. Making insulting, demeaning, or shaming comments, especially in front of others. Blaming you for mistakes or issues. They get insulted easily and lose their temper when angry. Expecting you to serve and obey at all times. Sudden mood swings and quick shifts between gentle and aggressive behavior. Intimidating someone with threatening looks or weapons. Threatening to harm you or someone you care about. If you notice any of these warning signs, seek help immediately. Abuse is never the victim's fault. In an emergency, call 911. Locally, both the Be Safe Domestic Violence Advocacy Program and Family Justice Center assist victims of domestic violence. The Family Justice Center also helps victims of domestic violence with their Totes of Love program. Okay, our next article, Life After COVID, How Local Clinic is Helping Buffalo Residents Reclaim Their Lives. COVID was rough on everybody, but I was one of those unlucky ones, and my cough caused me to tear muscles in my chest and side. I've pulled muscles before, but never have I been had I been in so much pain, and the area was swollen. I kept coughing, so I imagine that didn't help, because long after my COVID symptoms disappeared, I was still in pain. Months went by, and I wasn't healing. I mean, how do you rest an area you used to breathe? Shares Robin F. of Amherst, New York. Buffalo Advanced Acupuncture has been successfully treating COVID long haulers since the early days of the pandemic. I have strategies to address headaches and treatments that really help combat lasting fatigue and shortness of breath. Robin was the first person I saw whose infection caused a severe injury, shares Jonathan McDowell, MSAOMLAC. Normally, with an acute injury, I would instruct the patient with some topical treatment and maybe an anti-inflammatory and come see me if the pain persists for then a week or two. Robin had been suffering for months. Her body was simply refusing to heal. The human body is a self-healing organism. When you scrape your knee, your blood will quickly work to clot and scab. Your liver has a unique ability to regenerate after an injury. If you break a bone, specific cells immediately knit the edges together. Unfortunately, several factors prohibit those regenerative cells from completing the task that they were designed to do, including stress, age, not getting enough sleep, and suffering from severe infection or disease. Jonathan shares his expertise. In Robin's case, her battle with COVID affected her muscles, tissues' ability to heal and repair. Beyond the body being fatigued from fighting a very challenging infection, her cells were nearly depleted of oxygen. At BAM Acupuncture, I have several cutting-edge solutions that I use to treat injuries of this nature, and at the forefront of those is 03 regenerative therapy. I'll be honest, I was skeptical at first, jokes Robin, but I was out of options, and too many people have had incredible success at BAM Acupuncture that I couldn't say no. With each treatment, I felt better and better. Not 10 treatments in, and I was back to playing pickleball, and it's all because of Jonathan. I'm living life again. BAM Acupuncture is a premier provider of ozone therapy in the state. As an energized form of oxygen, ozone is far-reaching, having a positive lasting impact on joints, muscles, tendons, cartilage, ligaments, and tissues. When performed by licensed professionals, Jonathan McDonald is among the best. Ozone has been proven to reduce inflammation and regrow new tissue, making it viable for pain management and an option for and an optimal alternative to surgery. The result is enhanced and effective healing. I've seen Jonathan for almost every ailment and condition since, said tells Robin. Now I check in every few weeks for maintenance. I know I might sound like changing the oil in your car, but that's exactly what it is. Unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of ordering custom new parts for my body, so I plan on taking care of the ones I got. Buffalo Advanced Medical Acupuncture specializes in treating chronic pain and complex conditions. Those things that Western medicine professionals deem untreatable, then send you on your way with a prescription in hand. That's where we do our best work. There are real solutions to your suffering, and they start here at BAM, boasts Jonathan. Okay, the next article we have is Mental Illness is a Global Problem. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, over 1 billion people worldwide are affected by mental health conditions. Mental health conditions, particularly depression and anxiety, now rank as the second leading cause of long-term disability, leading to substantial loss of healthy life and higher health care costs for individuals and families. Their economic impact is estimated to cost the global economy around $1 trillion annually, primarily due to lost productivity. World Mental Health Today and Mental Health Atlas 2024 reports highlight progress and gaps in global mental health care. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stresses that transforming mental health services is a top public health priority, urging all governments to recognize mental health as a fundamental right and invest accordingly. Both reports show that while prevalence can vary by sex, women are generally more impacted by mental health disorders. Anxiety and depression are the most common issues across all genders. Suicide, a particularly tragic outcome, caused an estimated 727,000 deaths in 2021 and remains a leading cause of death among young people worldwide. Current efforts are insufficient to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goal of reducing suicide rates by one-third by 2030. At the current rate, only a 12% decrease will be reached. Despite some progress since 2020, such as updated national policies and improved integration of mental health into emergency responses, many countries have not enacted the necessary legal and systemic reforms. Only 45% of nations have mental health laws that fully align with international human rights standards. Government funding for mental health remains flat, with a median of over only 2% of health budgets dedicated to mental health, unchanged since 2017. High-income countries spend up to $65 per person, while low-income countries allocate as little as 4 cents per person. Globally, there are only 13 mental health workers per 100,000 people, with shortages being especially severe in low and middle income regions. In the U.S., mental health services account for about 1% of the national budget. The shift towards community-based mental health care is progressing slowly, with fewer than 10% of countries fully adopting this model. Many still depend heavily on psychiatric hospitals, with nearly half of inpatient admissions occurring without consent and over 20% lasting longer than a year. Access to care remains highly unequal. Less than 10% of people in low-income countries receive essential services, compared to only over 50% in wealthier nations. On a positive note, mental health promotion programs such as those in school and early childhood development are growing, with over 80% of countries now including mental health support in their emergency response plans. Telehealth and outpatient mental health services are expanding, but access still varies. The WHO urges governments and global partners to increase investment, carry out legal reforms, and improve workforce training while emphasizing community-based, person-centered care. The report stressed that real change will only occur through sustained, coordinated efforts across all sectors to ensure mental health is acknowledged and protected as a universal right. And you are listening to a reading of articles and features from Healthy Living on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Center. Okay, next article we have is Keep Pets Safe This Halloween. While Halloween fun might be enjoyable for ghosts and ghouls, pets may not share the same excitement. Halloween can cause stress and even pose dangers to many animals. Here are some essential things pet owners should keep in mind before Halloween. Costumes. Pet costumes are popular and can help owners and their pets coordinate for Halloween. Some pets might find costumes uncomfortable or scary. Introducing the costume to the pet gradually can help make the transition easier. Let the pet sniff the costume and place treats nearby to show it's not a threat. If the pet doesn't warm up to the idea of a costume, it's best not to force it. Glow sticks. Glow sticks are a safe way for children to enjoy spooky fun on Halloween, but they can also attract pets that might bite them and swallow the liquid. The ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center says pets may have a mild, self-limiting taste reaction to this liquid. Wiping off the excess with a damp cloth can help prevent the pet from licking again and experiencing another reaction. Access to candy. One of the most significant Halloween hazards for pets is their ability to get into candy, especially chocolate, which is toxic to dogs. Raisins and gum that contain the artificial sweetener xylitol are also dangerous, as are candy wrappers, which can get stuck in the digestive tract and cause a life-threatening blockage. Keep candy out of pets' reach to prevent them from getting into it. Nerves. Anxious pets can become overwhelmed during Halloween. Keep pets in a dark, quiet room away from the door to help reduce their anxiety and decrease the chance they will run away or get lost. Knowing the common Halloween dangers helps protect pets during this fun holiday. Next article we have is Classes, Meal Pickup, and Affordability at Terra House, a labor of love featuring delicious, healthy food. Andrea and John Niedrauer took a leap of faith in 2019 when they launched their business, Terra House, in the village of Akron. John, a classical guitar performance major from SUNY Fredonia, with a passion for food, was teaching private lessons, while Andrea, who holds a master's degree in cancer prevention research from the University of Buffalo, was working as an integrated nutritionist at the time. As a nutritional counselor, I realized that although families believe personal health is important, they either lack the time to prioritize it or don't know where to start. A staggering 86% of the calories Americans consume come from highly processed food filled with additives, chemicals, dyes, sugar, and unhealthy fats. Consequently, we have a population that's overweight but nutrient deprived, leading to an alarmingly high rates of chronic disease, says Andrea. In this knowledge, passion, and combined experience that motivated Andrea and John to leave their current jobs and venture into the food industry, Terra House started as a meal pickup service, providing healthy, fully prepared meals for families. When COVID hit, sales tripled. In 2021, we attempted to run an artisan cafe for a few years, but inflation and staffing issues made it hard to manage. However, our classes and catering kept growing, so we decided to focus on the aspects of business we loved and that also worked well for us, Andrea explained. John and Andrea view food as medicine, and this belief guides their business, which offers a meal pickup service 3 days a week, a rotating weekly menu, full-service catering, and cooking classes. In our classes, we really focus on the quality of ingredients. Pasta is made from two main ingredients, eggs and flour. Using high-quality ingredients, such as free-range eggs and local organic flour, produces a nutrient-dense food, and the rich flavor reflects this. People often think that eating healthy is too costly. We teach our class participants how to include clean eating on a budget, said John. Terra House offers a wide range of public and private classes for people of all ages. They have held many courses for the Girl Scout troops, birthday and holiday parties, and currently run a monthly inclusion cooking program. Last year, they also began hosting companies for team building workshops. We love holding these classes. It's an opportunity to teach an invaluable skill while also demonstrating the importance of food for our health, says Andrea. Terra House has recently started focusing on working with local businesses through catering and classes to support wellness in the workplace. She also hopes to become more involved with local schools and youth programs. John and Andrea have 3 children, ages 22, 15, and 12, and they live in Akron with their dog, cats, chickens, and bees. They enjoy gardening, homesteading, traveling, hiking, kayaking, spending time with family, listening to music, and of course, cooking and baking. To learn more about the services, menus, and classes offered by Terra House, visit their website at www.terrahouseakron.com. And also about Terra House, established 2019 in Akron, New York, full-service catering, culinary classes, private chef services. Our priorities at Terra House are creating clean, high-quality, artisan-style food, sourcing ingredients locally and organically, educating the public on healthy eating through our youth and adult culinary classes, and giving back to our community. And they're located at 25 Buffalo Street, Akron, New York. And their phone number is 716-418-6833. 3:6. And you've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the October 2025 issue of Healthy Living. And your reader has been Karen. Thank you very much for listening. Please take care of yourself and have a good day. Okay, bye-bye.